Welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, all you people out there in internet land, and welcome congregation. I'm so happy to see you all here today. And the title of today's sermon is Redeemed From, with a question mark. How often do we hear the word redeemed or redeem in our culture? Last time I remember it was, I'm going to go redeem my frequent flyer miles. Anybody use frequent flyer miles anymore? I guess they put that on your credit card. I never had any. I didn't do much flying. Don't need to do much flying. But they had a thing called frequent flyer miles, and you could redeem them. And I guess there's other places where you can redeem stuff, maybe points, if you have a Wise card or a Giant card, or you know what I mean? That sort of thing, redeem those points for turkey or ham or something. I don't do that much either, although my wife Amy has said, did you redeem them points? And I went, I have no idea what you're talking about. I just don't understand that sort of redeeming, and I'm okay with that. Our first scripture verse this morning is found in Psalm 49. In verse 15, we read, and that's Psalm 49, verse 15, we read, but God will redeem my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me. What was Sheol? Sheol was the underworld in the Old Testament. There wasn't a real good understanding of where you went, but when people died and they put their body in the grave, where did they go? There was a place called Sheol. And the psalmist is saying, but God will redeem my soul. Those are strong words. He was putting his faith in God. He said, God's going to redeem me from this dark place that I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what it is. To be redeemed, what a wonderful thing. I want you to think about that, redeemed. Why is this so? Why had there be a redemption from this place? I mean, what happened? What occurred? In the scriptures, in Genesis, we find why the psalmist said, God will redeem me. It's in chapter 3, starting in the very first verse of chapter 3 in Genesis. And this is the fall of man. This is the beginning of why there was a Sheol and why there needed to be redemption. And we all know these verses, at least we should. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, has God said you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? The woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said you shall now eat from it or touch it or you will die. The serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die, for God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. How well did things work out? Why don't you think about that? How well did that work out? What was wrong with that tree? Nothing. The tree was the knowledge of good and evil. And by Adam and Eve disobeying God when he said, don't eat of that, all sort of things were brought into play. Tremendous amount of things. Death. Satan became the ruler of this world. And we all know the rest of the story. It went downhill from there. We see it. Did they die instantly? No, they didn't. They lived quite a few hundred years. No, but the curse of death was placed upon us through them. And mankind has feared this universally since then. But I want you to understand, they died spiritually. That beautiful and wonderful relationship with God was broken. And that was Satan's plan the whole time, to break that relationship. See, Satan can't touch God, can't hurt God, can't do anything to God, because Satan is a created being. But he can get after us, and he does because God loves us. So he uses us as an intermediate. Comes after us, hurts us, tempts us, pushes us around. Well, mankind. Because he wants to hurt God. And we can prove that Satan is in charge of this world, at least the governments. If you go to Matthew chapter 4 in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Matthew. Got to get to the... Matthew. Chapter 4. Starting in verse 8, 8 and 9. And we know these scriptures. Jesus is being tempted by the devil. Okay? And this is the final temptation. This is the final one that Satan threw at Jesus, the Son of God. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me." And then I'm going to read on. And then Jesus said to him, "Go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Now, how could Satan offer all these kingdoms, the glory of all these kingdoms, to Jesus if he didn't own them, if he didn't have possession of them? He couldn't have. Right now, Satan is the god of this world, at least the kingdoms. And yes, he's in the United States. He's working his poison and in other countries, causing as much chaos and pandemonium and just hate and death and sickness everywhere. Because that's of his kingdom. That is his kingdom. When I said earlier that Satan is a created being, he can't create anything. I want you to think about it. He can't create anything. He can only take what God has created and twist it and mar it and tear it and throw it in the dirt, stamp on it. But he can't create anything. He can only take what God has already given us and try and destroy it. So we were thrust into the power of Satan. Satan's kingdom has held all of mankind in its clutches along with the governments of this world. We hear in certain so-called churches of God, or in so-called churches, God is love, and love is love, and God is going to turn a blind eye to all this stuff. Everything's going to be okay. God loves you. You can do anything you want. Right? No? Huh? What did you say? I think Bob said, wrong chicken. But what's wrong with that? God is love, and love is love, and love is wonderful, and we can have love everywhere, right? Love, all we need is more love. I grew up in the 70s, okay? So I was kind of at the tail end of the hippies, right? I wasn't quite a hippie. I was too young to be a hippie, but the summer of love, love. How's that working out for us? Just love, God is love. You know, you hardly ever hear of some churches that love is love. Hear of God's righteousness and holiness. But they are his attributes also. I want you to think about that. God is a holy God. He sets the moral righteousness by himself. He's holy. Sin can't be in his presence. That's why when Adam and Eve sinned, there was a separation. They died spiritually. And Jesus came as our Redeemer to reestablish that spiritual connection with God. And without him, we would have never been redeemed. And what are we redeemed from? What are we redeemed out of? I want you to think about this. Because we go about our lives, you know what I mean? We're working our jobs and we're paying our bills and we're going to the grocery store and we're going on vacation and we're raising our children and helping to raise our grandchildren. I mean, we've got all these things going on. There's a new facility we're moving to. You know, there's a lot of work to get that there. Do we ever think about what we're living in and what other people are doing? My next scripture reading is rather long, but it gives us a very good idea of the kingdom of Satan. And Paul wrote it in Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 18. And it's rather long, but it gives you a very good description of the muck and mire, the slimy stickiness of sin and his kingdom. Romans chapter 1. Romans is an extraordinary book in the New Testament. It is Paul's thesis of what the world is about. Okay? And we need to read it often, to look at it. So we understand what we're dealing with. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. That's part of what Satan does. He suppresses the truth. We know the truth that there is a God. But there's so many people around the world, not just our culture, I don't want to just pick on the United States, but around the world, they say, there is no God, there is no devil, there's no spiritual anything, it's all material, we're all just here, and when you die, you become grass fertilizer, right? There's no afterlife, there's nothing else. Oh, you Christians are so dumb, you know what they say? You're really dumb. What are you talking about? You believe in something you can't see or touch? It's because they've never experienced God. That's what's going on here. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. We have a conscience. We know right from wrong. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuses. You look at the human cell, the complexity in there is extraordinary. Just the complexity of the DNA molecule that gives you your body all the instructions on how to make another cell. It just happened by accident. Well, you know, in the beginning, there was some copper and some aluminum and some beryllium and some seawater and a little bit of lightning and hot and cold, and the crust was moving around and compressing and doing all this stuff, and all of a sudden, a cell popped up. Really? Really? It just popped up. And then the cell decided it was going to just divide. And after a couple of, billion years? I'm here. By accident. I can tell you I'm no accident. I've been called the force of nature. No. Since I got saved, I'm a force of the Holy Spirit. He dwells in me, and I could tell you stories of Him moving in my life, doing things that I didn't know was happening until after it happened to me. And I go, oh, now I understand. We walk by faith and not by sight. Starting in verse 21, for even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of their incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible men and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore, God gave them over to the lust of their hearts, to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And Paul goes on to describe what is happening in this world. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way, also, men abandoned the natural function of the women and burned in their desire towards one another, men with men, committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. That is an extraordinary description of Satan's kingdom. We have been redeemed out of that. If you look at all that stuff, I can describe it in one word. Drama. Drama. How many people in our lives do we know that just, they feast on drama? Everything's about drama. Oh, how can I stir the pot? How can I move things? Get people unhappy? Make drama. I try and stay as far away from drama as possible. You know why? Because it saps your spiritual happiness. I don't want to hear drama. I don't want to hear gossip. I don't want to hear that stuff. And you should be the same. Don't listen to that crap. All it does is sap away your happiness. Drags you down physically. Did you ever get around some people who are nothing but drama kings and queens? Till you're done working with them, you're exhausted. You got to go home and take a nap. I'm already taking one nap a day just to get through the day, right? That is Satan's kingdom. And there's people around the world going, oh, that's really great. That's wonderful. We need to keep doing that. What does it cause? It causes heartache. It causes children to be abused. It causes adults to be abused. That's what Satan's all about in his kingdom. He wants to abuse people. And it seems like right now he's doing a pretty good job of it. People seem to be following him. Craziness. Don't you think? Craziness? Anybody say crazy? One, two. There we go. I number my pages because I get lost. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Amen? You're all sinners saved by grace. You've been redeemed. You've been plucked out of that kingdom and placed in the kingdom of God. Jesus spoke of that. The kingdom of God was coming into the world and it was already here in Him. You've been placed in His kingdom. Amen? That is a wonderful place to be. Is it easy? No, it's not easy. Jesus never said it would be easy. Oh, follow me and it'll be just a piece of cake. Well, we'll have rainbows and unicorns and there'll be cupcakes and shrimp and sausage, kielbasa. For everybody, it's all going to be so easy. It's not. But I want you to understand something. You have a power in you, the Holy Spirit, that no matter how hard it gets, no matter how difficult it is, He will energize you. He loves you. He's there as a flame on the altar of your heart. In the Old Testament, God came on to prophets. He worked with people. And they built Him a temple, and His glory was in that temple, and they put a big curtain over it because they couldn't look at it for fear God would kill them because of their sin. And now, since Jesus Christ has saved us, God doesn't need a temple anymore because you are the temple. Your heart is the altar. That flame is burning there, and it's never going to go out. It's an eternal flame. And you have all the power and wisdom you need. But He only gives it to you when you need it. Only gives it to you when you need it. The next scripture is Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 7. Galatians. Galatians chapter 4, starting in the fourth verse, we read, and this is Paul speaking to the Galatian church. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that He might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. What an extraordinary thing. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Yes, we serve the Lord Jesus, but we're not servants. We're not bought servants. We are children of God, sons and daughters. That means we have inherited the kingdom. Everything is ours. Everything through Christ Jesus. Now, don't get a big swelled head going, oh, I get everything I want, right? No, no. God gives to you in your need and what He wants you to have in those moments. In those moments. When you truly need it. I love that word, redeemed. I've been redeemed. I've been taken out of a very crappy situation. Satan's kingdom, which leads to death, eternal separation from God, and brought into a kingdom of life, of true love, of faithfulness. And not only that, we're sons and daughters. God has taken us out of that, and he said, you are my son, you are my daughter, my children, I love you. I love my children. Even when they drive me crazy, I still love them. I love my grandchildren, even when they drive me crazy. Although at this age, I think I'm driving them a little crazy. Right? They're shaking their heads. They know. That's okay. It's my job. I'm supposed to do that as grandparents. God-given job for me. Drive your grandchildren a little crazy. Be that grandparent that they would say, oh, he's a little off, but I know he loves me. Right? Be a little off, but know that they love you. Love them. We were at one time slave to Satan's kingdom. We were his slaves. All right, now we've been brought out of that. We've been redeemed. I love that word, redeemed. Redeemed. Well, you can really say good, redeemed. I've been redeemed. Oh, my spirit is just overflowing with redemption, overflowing with happiness. We should be happy. Although sometimes we aren't happy. Sometimes I have what they call a resting face. Yeah, I have a resting face. I'm smiling on the inside. I'm grinning from ear to ear. It's just that the muscles sometimes don't connect to that spirit. But that's okay. God's working on that. My final scripture for today is found in Titus. Go back a little further, Titus. In Titus. Come on there. Yeah, there it is. Found it. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 15. Chapter 2 in Titus, 11 through 15. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own purpose, for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. These things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one disregard you. We're Christians. We don't fear death. I just saw a report from, it was on a YouTube video from Christian Warriors. It's a gentleman who teaches. He's a Christian, and he teaches churches how to protect themselves. There was a church in Africa where the congregation was beheaded. And I didn't get much more information other than that. I just know it happened. Do you know where those people are right now? They're in glory. What is Paul saying to Titus? That we are to stand up and tell the culture around us, wrong. That is wrong. That is ungodly. It's unprofitable. How's it working for you? in love. We say it in love. We don't get our clubs out and go out there, or our Bibles. Take our Bibles, go out there and start beating people over the head. Have you known Christians like that? Well, they grab a hold of your arm, and you're like trying to talk to you, and you're not listening, or you're not cooperating with them. They start beating you in the head with their Bible. That's not how to do it. How to do it is in love. Might have to be a family member. Might have to be a close friend, co-worker. You know, that's not a good lifestyle. It's going to cause you pain. It's going to cause you loss. It's unrighteous. And they say, well, what do you mean? God says it's unrighteous. Now, you have a choice. You get to keep operating the way you want. But can you live with the consequences of your choices? And there are consequences. Too many times people make choices and don't even think of the consequences. They just go daddling on. I think I'm going to go down this road to alcoholism. Well, it's a lot of fun at first, right? Let's get some rock and rye in there, or about a glass full of, what are they? Some of them out there. Seagram 7? I guess that's one of them. I think that's a whiskey. I feel different now. But as time goes on, what are the consequences of that? Cirrhosis of the liver, loss of family, when you become an alcoholic, that sort of thing. So what Titus is telling us there is to love God, love others, and go. He's telling us to go in a roundabout way. And we're going to do that. So we're now being moved as a congregation from this place to a new field, a new vineyard of the Lord's own choosing. He did that. He set everything up and is moving us there in His time. Anybody excited? Are you excited? Oh man, I am really excited. I can't wait to get out to Jonestown. We're going to have so much fun. It's going to be enjoyable. We're going to meet new people, make new friends, maybe make new enemies. Friends are fun. Enemies are interesting. Oh, yeah. What do you mean you don't like me because I'm a Christian? Why? What did I ever do to you? Let's talk about it. You have been redeemed for such a time as this. You are going to submit yourselves to this glorious task, or rest now and think you've achieved the goal of having a facility? I want you to think about that. We have been redeemed for this time, for this place, in this congregation, each of you, by the Lord Jesus, for the task of going out there and being the church of Jesus Christ. To love God, love others, and go. Now, don't anybody think for a minute that, oh my goodness, we achieved it. We got it. We got a facility. Oh, cool. We got a kitchen. We got a sanctuary. There's an organ. We got, oh, okay, let's rest. All right. All right. All right. God, thank you so much. And there we go. This is really cool, isn't it? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No. The work is just beginning. I want you to think about it. God has placed you here, the Lord Jesus had you here, in this school, sort of like a nursery, okay? And we've kind of had it a little bit easy. Now, some of the guys setting up chairs and tearing down chairs every, you know, week, I mean, they worked. They were building their muscles. That's what they were doing. But what has occurred is that God has, the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit, using myself and Pastor Rich, okay, we can't take any for this, okay? We can't. We're preachers. We're sinners saved by grace. But he's been teaching you. He's been feeding you. He's been getting you ready, spiritually pumping, getting those spiritual muscles ready to go. And now the time has come to be put out in a new vineyard, a new field. And that field is white for the harvest. I pray that you double down, that you strengthen yourself, you be ready, you prayed up, scripture read up, ready to go and hit the ground running. We're going to love those people in Jonestown. We're going to be a little town church. Can you imagine that, a little town church? Jonestown's a little town. It's cute, it's wonderful, it has a history, it's great. And we're going to get to be a church there because the Lord Jesus has called us and moved us and redeemed us for this purpose, to bring glory to Him, His Father, and the Holy Spirit. And to reach people with the gospel, to tell them of the good news. They don't have to die. They can be redeemed. They can be brought out of that kingdom of Satan and brought into a glorious kingdom that will last forever. Think about it. No eye has seen, no mind has conceived the wonders that God is going to give us in eternity. But I want you to understand, this is the time of great peril, for Satan will try to subvert us. We must stand fast in the Lord in all that we endeavor to do, so as to bring glory to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, whose power we stand in for all other ground. Ground here, ground in Jonestown. If you're not standing on the Word of God and the Lord Jesus, standing on His righteousness, you're standing on quicksand. And you might not be sinking now, but just at the right moment, Satan's going to pull that trap door open and you will sink. You will sink. He's been at this a long time. Don't fear him, but understand his wiles. Be strengthened up, for we have an extraordinary adventure ahead of us. May the glory be to God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in whose name we worship and pray. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.